Hello, hello. It is me, Angela Scanlon, here on the Graham Norton Radio Show with Waitrose. Today, we have got another fab recipe from the show chef Martha for you. And we'll be taking a look at some of the best interviews on the Graham Norton Show over the past 3 years here on Virgin Radio. Let's get moving. Today on the show, it's a Strictly special. Sorry, it's a trigger response. We're taking a look back at Graham's chats with Johannes Radebe, as well as previous winner Bill Bailey. Plus, show chef Martha has a real treat in store today. She has got the very best potato dauphinoise. It's delicious. Let's get her in here now, shall we? Hello, Martha.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
We should have played the final countdown really for you, shouldn't we?
Yeah, the buttons are definitely not doing up now. Off the jacket.
Have you started nesting, though? Manic productivity in the home place. It's quite a good upside.
I do keep waking up in the night thinking, I haven't got XYZ, I haven't got newborn.
Socks bleached.
What do you need? I just feel there's a million squillion things that you need. Yeah. And but then I'm trying to relax and just think, do you know what? We live in a city. It can't be that hard if I run out of socks to go and get some baby socks.
You'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We'll send out the
husband. They fall off anyway.
Who needs them?
In a couple of months, you'll be getting those weird little like ankle support things to stick on over the socks so they don't fall off them. They're very strange. Anyway, shall we talk about potatoes?
Oh, yes.
My second favourite subject after children. Dauphinoise. Oh, I love a dauphinoise bud.
I think it's the king of potatoes, personally.
It's the poshest potato.
It's posh. I love a roast potato as well. Same. But I think dauphinoise just has that extra little bit of sauciness. It's just good through and through.
Well, it's a full meal, I would say. I mean, there's not many potatoes that could literally hold their own.
You're right.
I feel like you could put that down on a plate with a bit of salad and call it a full meal.
I am happy to do that. When I was testing the dauphinoise recipes, because this is one of the best dauphinoise where I made a lot of different kinds.
Okay.
Tested a lot of different variations to see what would work the best.
Yeah.
And so I was doing that. Breakfast, lunch and dinner, we were having dauphinoise.
Living the
freezer
the dream.
Was full of dauphinoise.
What was the worst one before we get into the best?
It was more just playing around with the different seasonings. Okay. Some people like to put things like anchovies in there, ooh, which works, but it was a bit too overwhelming, I thought. So we've not gone down that route.
Okay, is there any mustard in it?
There's no mustard in it. I've stuck with herbs, a lot of garlic and a bit of nutmeg.
Ooh.
So you get a little bit of kind of that je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
I feel like that literally means I'm not sure what to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's
something
fine.
Like that.
But it sounds good. Go with it.
Yeah, so they're really creamy. And then it's got cheese as well, which is a bit controversial. Some people think traditional dauphinoise.
What, cheese is controversial?
Well,
never.
The traditionalists who make dauphinoise say no cheese. It
Stop.
Should just be the potatoes in the cream sauce.
So, but how does it get like brown and kind of bubbly?
I think it's just the kind of
cream.
The cream. Yeah, the sugars in the cream will start to caramelise, and which tastes good, but nothing is not improved with a bit of cheese on top. So
I agree.
I've layered it all the way through.
You are filthy, Martha. Okay, let's have a taste of this and talk about a layered cheese lasagna potato situation. Wow, is all I can say. I mean, the potatoes are so silky. I don't know if that was the desired effect.
They've been bathed in cream.
Bathed?
So yes.
Oh. Absolutely gorgeous. Very garlicky, quite herby.
That is what I was going for. I hope that was enjoyable. It would be perfect with a big Sunday roast. That's why we did it today, is we thought if people are going out for Mother's Day tomorrow or they're thinking of cooking a roast, this is a great side dish. And then pop yourself to Waitrose and get a nice joint of meat. So beef is on offer at the moment, or there's lamb, or you can do all sorts of dauphinoise. Yeah. It goes with most things. There's not many things it doesn't go with.
No. It literally goes with pasta if you wanted to.
You know,
if you're lo-fi in the kitchen, like, just chuck that on the bit of pesto pasta. Love it. Okay, so is it hard to make? Because it looks accomplished.
The slicing of the potatoes, I would say, is the hardest part, but then once it's in the oven, it's one of those quite nice ones where it just cooks itself and it doesn't matter if it has a few extra 5-10 minutes. It won't hate you for that.
Okay, it'll get more crunchy. So the slicing of the potatoes, because they do feel, are they super thin?
So I've done them using one of those mandolins, and I would say it's so worth it for this. Or most food processors, if they have the spinny attachments, which people often don't ever use, they just go to the back of a drawer.
Yeah.
You can chop your potatoes really finely using that, but it works so well for things like this, because if you do it by hand, they'll all be a slightly different thickness, and then it's really hard to get that even cook all the way through. So either a mandolin or using your food processor. So you want to get all your potatoes nice and sliced, and then once they're sliced, set them to one side, and we're taking double cream, milk, 3 cloves of garlic, grated down, and a little bit of nutmeg, and then a whole thing of thyme. So like put in 3 sprigs of thyme and the rosemary. You don't need to chop it, just put it into the milk mixture. Bring that to a simmer and then turn the heat off and leave it for 15 minutes just to infuse through and get all those flavours going. Then we're going to start layering our potatoes in a big dish, or I've done you a little individual portion today. Just for you. But you want to layer them in the dish. Then I'm grating in some Comté cheese, which is a lovely French Alpine cheese. Then you pour in a little bit of that infused cream. Repeat with more potatoes, more cheese, more cream, more cheese on top, into
Speak
the oven.
Speak my language, girl.
Into the oven for approximately kind of 45 to 50 minutes until it's, you put a knife in and it goes all the way through really easily.
Okay.
Then you want to leave it to stand just for 5-10 minutes before you serve it, just so the cream stops bubbling and it kind of is a bit more sliceable.
You don't want to scald their tongues.
No.
It's not the vibe. It's gorgeous. And then what, just a little bit of herbage on the top?
Just, yeah, a little...
To serve.
A little garnish on top, you know, not essential, but it looks good.
I also love when it's all finished and then you get to forage around the edges for all the burnt bits.
Oh, the crispy bits.
The best bits. I mean, don't know why they get left. I know it's a bit of work, but it's worth it.
It's got to be done, because otherwise they're an absolute nightmare to wash up. So yeah. Much better to have somebody that scavenges
away
and
at
eats
it.
Them.
Fabulous.
Angela Scanlon on the Graham Norton Radio Show on Virgin Radio.
Still to come, we'll be hearing the wonderful Bill Bailey from when he joined us in the studio chatting about his Eurovision and Strictly tips. I know, quite a heady mix. But first, let's cross to Strictly favourite Johannes. Here's his chat with Graham from when he came in 2022.
Johannes Radebe joins me now of Strictly Come Dancing fame, and now he's doing his own tour. It's Freedom UK tour starts in March. You can go to johannes-live.com and you can find all the information there of tickets and where you're heading. Welcome to the show, Johannes.
Thank you for having me, Graham. Thank you.
We are so happy to see you. So this is... I can't imagine what this must feel like. It must be an extraordinary moment as a dancer where, you know, the dancer in a way is never the star.
It's true. That's the truth. That's the truth. And like I said the last time to you, thank goodness for platforms like Strictly Come Dancing, because this would have never happened.
But except... maybe it would, because what's happened is, you know, yes, you got the opportunity of Strictly, but you took it. You know what I mean? We know who you are. I'm afraid there's quite a few of those dancers. I don't know who they are. But you've kind of cut through, you know, with your personality and all of that. And that's down to you, not Strictly.
You know what? I should sometimes pat myself on the back, right, Graham? Which I failed to do. But it has... I've been dying for this opportunity. Also because I saw others do it, like the Antons, like I said, and Giovanni's. And I was just like... wow, God give me that opportunity. So for the fact, like I said, I'm here in the United Kingdom and it's finally happening, I can't tell you. It's a big achievement.
And you also have this unique selling point in that you are, obviously you'll be demonstrating ballroom and you'll be doing all the things we expect, but then you are tapping into your own heritage.
Absolutely. I'm paying tribute to my African roots. And like I said to you, I want to dance to my own tune for the first time, Lord Jesus. And... It's incredible, because like I've been working on it this morning, and even though I'm also crossing over into the Western world, I still want that African the African beat or sense, or just the authenticity of just run under that as much as I'm trying to present this world. But honestly, it's been fun doing it.
And growing up, were you doing kind of traditional dances at the same time as you were doing ballroom?
Yes, I did. And that was a thing.
And how does that work? Are they taught in schools?
They're taught in schools. There is a recreation hall where we all gather and just do and go for gold. We come together and perform as communities and townships. So it's a whole thing. There's a culture of it around there. But ballroom and Latin obviously demanded much of my time, and that's why I had to leave that world behind so that I could become a world champ.
Yeah. Because you were, and also I suppose, I mean, we talk about the dance is never the star. In the traditional dances, are they all group dances, or do people kind of step forward and take solos?
No, the people do step forward. I mean, that is encouraged. Do you understand what I'm saying? They like to see uniqueness and interpretation of music, because what we do is we sing and we give you the beat that you deserve. So, you know, as we all interpret it differently, and that's the beauty about it, is you do whatever comes to you at the time. And of course, you layer it with the basics of what needs to be. I think it's interesting. I think the world would find it very interesting, because I mean, African Zulu dancing is wild and joyous, and it's a celebration. And for the fact that I'm opening the show with that and to capture that, I think, yeah, people are going to be blown away.
And in the show, do you talk?
I do. I have to. I realize that I have to, and I don't like talking, Graham. I'm a man of few words. But I think it's important just to say, to get onto that microphone and say thank you. Yeah. I think people also would like to hear that and a little bit of and make sense of it all as well. Like, you know, there'll be a narrative run to the show so that people, so it makes sense to people that doesn't know of never or never heard of the music or understands the culture for that matter. So there will be.
And I guess your connection to those dancers and your connection to those that music.
Absolutely. I will try and articulate myself.
So when you you became kind of a you know, you were a big ballroom star in South Africa. Now, was the first thing you did, was it Strictly Come Dancing in South Africa? Or did you head away on your cruise first?
No, I went to my cruises first. So I was around the world first.
Okay.
Until this opportunity on Strictly in South Africa came by. Because they were looking for a tall black male.
Oh, well, step forward. Hello.
And like I said to you, I wasn't sold on the idea of television. It was not my thing. Cameras, lights. I was like, oh, all I want to do is just get into the studio and practice and dance against the Italians and the UK champs. That was the vision. And until I came, I said, well, this, it's not bad.
And I guess also the big difference is that it's one thing being good at dancing and you know, obviously you trained and you became great. But on that show, you've also got to be a teacher. Which is no one, you know, you never kind of went into dancing to think, hopefully one day I get to teach some two left-footed newsreader.
And that's what I find so beautiful about it all, you know, when you see that transformation. But it is wild, isn't it, to be just stuck in a room with somebody and they say, make it work. It is bizarre, but I think that is why it works, because it's so, I don't know, it's mad.
Yeah, and this year, we've got to talk about this season, because this season, isn't it interesting that silly show, that silly sparkly show, touched people so much this year. I mean, obviously there was a same-sex partnership, but also Rose. Her story was extraordinary and really moving.
I can't tell you, me and both, if John and I could vote, we would probably vote for Rose as well. Because every time she was on the floor, me and him were like, how? It must be crazy to be able to do that with everything that we are also experiencing, the nerves, the everything. And the fact that that woman just came out there and gave it her best every time. I was blown away, Graham. I've never seen anything like it.
That moment of silence in her time. That, I mean, the nation sobbed. I mean,
can we all just agree that that was when I turned around and I said, oh, okay. Yeah. She's our rightful winner.
Yeah. Under the glitter. We should write it. Johannes Aradebe, Freedom is the name of the tour. It starts in March, and you can find all tickets and information at johannes-live.com. And so how long is the tour? How long is it going on for?
I think I've got 34 dates.
Wow.
So I finish on the 1st of May.
Okay. And then you don't get much time off before you start rehearsing the group dances and things.
But no, don't worry. Definitely I'll be jumping on that flight and disappearing somewhere on the 2nd. And I'll come soon. I'll come back as soon as Strictly starts. But I know, Graham, it's been mad.
And with Strictly, how do they keep you hanging? Like, you know what I mean? Do you look at your flat and thinking, I wonder if I'll be paying rent on this next year? Or do they tell you the minute it's over, don't you worry, you're coming back?
No, you wait. You wait for the phone call every year.
And
yeah,
have you had it this year yet?
Or not yet. Fingers crossed.
That tour may not be ending on the 1st of May. And the tour continues.
Oh, Graham.
No, I'm sure you'll get the call. You'll get the call. Oh. And do you talk to each other? You know, do they not just talk to each other, kind of going, I've had the call.
No, it's confidential. It's your business, isn't it? No, I don't call.
So there's not a WhatsApp group going...
Going, can you imagine if one didn't get it?
Well, somebody mustn't. I mean, the good thing is OT's walked.
listen to you.
Oh, he's walked, so that's fine. So yeah.
She probably would have been the person that I would have contacted first and said, says this is the situation. But we all waited out.
Yeah. And when does the call come?
It comes as early as now, actually.
Uh-oh.
Soon.
Now that he thinks about it. Kind of now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
normally
evident.
I know by now.
That's where we are. Don't even start.
No. It'll be good. And is anyone else in your show involved in Strictly, or is it a cast of dancers that you have found?
No, you know, it's people and everybody that I've sourced. Like I said to you, I want to give an opportunity to people that would aspire to be a part of something like this and would never get the opportunity to. And it's all based on talent and what they can do. I don't care who they are and what they look like. And I just want somebody who's passionate about dance and unique. And that's what I found.
What an amazing opportunity to be able to give people.
I know. It's youngsters as well. People that have just finished college that are trying to break into the industry, but they're hungry. And I love that.
Yeah. And back home, back in South Africa, you must be like this icon to people kind of thinking, hang on, he did it. He did this. I can do this now. Has there been an explosion in ballroom dancing in South Africa?
Unfortunately not. And
hasn't.
The opposite has been happening where you just, I mean, it's just expensive, isn't it, Graham? It really is an expensive sport.
And I guess because of the shoes and the costumes
and all of that. And unfortunately, there's this thing. Back when I was doing it, you could still see it on television. There's nothing now. And we thank goodness for shows like Strictly Come Dancing. That's the only thing that they get to experience. But like the culture is dying, and that is why I'm so determined to go back and do the show back home and sell this dream to other kids.
That would be amazing to take this tour back there.
That would be crazy. It would be mad, but it's a plan of mine. Craig.
And for your family to see it as well.
Absolutely. Seeing that they have watched me shake my tush around the world. Yeah, it would be amazing to do it at home.
Yeah, finally, shake my tush at home. There you go. Johanna, it's lovely, lovely, lovely to see you. Good luck with the tour. Enjoy going to places you never thought you would. You're going to see more Britain than I ever have.
I can just imagine.
I sit here. Yeah. I sit here and wave at people going on tour.
But thank you. Thank you for your time.
You'll love it. You'll have a great time.
Thank you.
Take care.
I appreciate you, my darling. Angela Scanlon on the Graham Norton
Radio Show. On Virgin Radio. It's Bill Bailey. Everyone knows Bill Bailey.
Hello.
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 How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
I was just saying, the last time I saw you, you were in the midst of Strictly.
I was. Right in the thick of it.
Yeah. Did anyone in your family put money at the beginning of Strictly on you winning?
Yes, my wife did.
She must have made a fortune.
She did. She made quite a pretty penny.
Yeah, because I was thinking about you, and I was thinking, wow, if somebody bet on you winning.
Lots of people really regretted not betting, obviously. But a friend of ours, well, you will know, a fellow comedian, Geordie comic Dave Johns.
Oh yeah.
He said, because he likes to have a flutter, and he kept texting me, sort of saying, "How is it going?" Because I put a bet on, so no pressure. But it was a bit of a turn up all round.
So he did well out of it as well, yeah.
Absolutely.
And what was do you remember the moment in your head when, because I don't know what your approach was when you went into it. What did you think was going to happen when you went into it?
Do you know, Graham, I mean obviously that my expectation ranged wildly from from not falling over.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big sort of headline in my head.
Yeah, dream big.
Just don't try not to knock in this, just knock someone over, tread on someone's foot. I mean, it ranged. That was the kind of minimum, and then it went all the way down to actually knocking someone, you know, cannoning into one of the judges. So it was pretty low. I got to say, the bar was set pretty low. So you know, everything was a bonus, really.
And do you remember a moment where your mindset shifted and you kind of think, actually, I can do this. I'm good at this.
Yeah. Do you know what? There was a couple of things. There was week two when I did the quick step, and there's a move, a step in the quick step, which is called the the Scatter Chassé, of course, as you know.
Apologies, listeners.
Yep, and it's a triple beat thing. And anyway, I don't know, because of knowing what that is in music, when I know what a triplet is, I know, you know, you'd put three notes to one. Something like that, I don't know, some incipient dance gene that just was kind of reactivated. Anyway, I just managed to get it. And Oti was suddenly kind of shocked and thought, wow, if you can do that, then perhaps there's these other things you can do. And so that was a bit of a moment. And then by week four, when we did the Rapper's Delight, suddenly I realised, I'm really enjoying it. I think I've got the hang of this. So yeah. From that point on, it was just joyous.
But listen, now back to the day job. A tour en route to normal, starting in Plymouth on December the 12th, goes right through to Belfast on the 15th. Now, these are arenas. Am I right in thinking you don't normally do arenas, do you?
No, well, not normally. I mean, the thing is, these dates were booked a long time ago. We had to kind of, you know, you had to reserve venues, because venues sort of fill up a long time in advance. And the idea was, we thought, you know, thinking ahead at the time when things were pretty grim, that there might not be the opportunity to have a sort of, you know, full capacity audience.
Yeah.
So we thought, if we have a bigger venue, at least then what we can do is divide it up into little pods, should it come
spread
to that.
Them out.
Spread
yeah.
them out a
yeah,
bit.
Lovely,
if,
yeah.
if that happens. So the avowed intent is that that's not the case, but we'll see. You know, hopefully we'll get a full capacity, or as many people as we're allowed.
And is this a show you wrote in lockdown?
Well, I started, right, yeah. I mean, the title I came up with before we'd even heard of COVID-19.
It's your fault.
I slightly blame myself.
You manifested it.
I preempted it. I've got this weird, I've jinxed it. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, just like to apologise unreservedly to the world. And it was a lot of, it's an interesting kind of, the idea of creative, you know, being creative in lockdown. I think that was a sort of big issue for a lot of artists, what to do, how to write, what do you write about, you know, being in isolation. So there's a lot of about the music, the process of writing, and using the sounds of lockdown to kind of as an inspiration. So it was quite a sort of, it's a lot different to normal writing.
Yeah, because I've talked to writers and stuff, and they say, you know, it's very hard to write because you're not talking to people, you're not meeting people, things aren't sparking your brain. So, like, how do you find the funny when nothing's happening?
I know it is. I was having to kind of have conversations with myself. Well, what do you think of that? Well, I think that's quite funny. And then I do material to myself, and they go, well, that's quite good. And it was very, very strange. And a lot of it was down to more deep dives into memory. I think that was the thing, because a lot of my previous tours, like the one before Larks in Transit, was very much about, I mean, the whole thing was about travel. It's about meeting people, having experiences, and of course that's not been open to us. So it was very much about reflection and memory and those kinds of creative.
And was there a nice thing that happened in your house? Because Dax, how old is your son, Dax?
Well,
now?
You know, he's about to become 18. He's nearly 18.
So
was it,
as a dad, was it kind of sweet that you got to spend that time with him when, you know, because soon he'll be, you know, coop,
yeah,
flown.
He's gone. That's it. It was actually. And we did, it was very much like we had our own, you know, little routine in the house. You know, me and my wife were in one bit, and he had his own room. And we'd kind of meet every now and again. We'd meet and have a sort of little family, you know, like a little get-together. And then we'd retreat to our various little corners. But, it was. It was lovely spending time with everyone.
Yeah, because, of course, strictly, you couldn't hang out with him at all,
no,
could you?
No, that's right. No, he wasn't in our bubble.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so which he didn't seem to be that bothered about. I got to say, he was like, yeah, shrugged, you know, teenage, yeah, whatever, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
So he had his own. He did his own thing. Quite happy with it.
John and Lester has asked, I love the musical elements of your shows. Have you thought about including your new dancing skills? Because of course.
Absolutely. I mean, we were just talking about that very thing. Yes, of course. I mean, I was just saying to Graham that in my recent show, I was doing a show at the Royal Opera House, and I'd written a little sort of routine about the dance of the Red Bird of Paradise, and I tried to illustrate that with a dance. And I got to the end of the dance, and then the audience insisted that I do it again. So so I think that dance is now going to be a part of my show. Not all the show, obviously, but there'll be elements of it in there, I'm sure.
Yeah, because there must be... Can you tell, like, looking out at the crowd, can you tell Bill Bailey fans from Strictly fans? I know they're kind of the same now.
They're
but...
sort of, yes, they're kind of merged, really. I mean, they're quite, my demographic's quite broad anyway, so I'm hoping that it... there's a sort of good crossover, or else there's going to be lots of dance fans in the front row just going, I hope he does the paso, putting their fingers crossed, paso doble. So I don't know.
With paddles, score paddles in their bag.
That's right.
Is it true that you want to represent the United Kingdom at Eurovision?
Well, do you know what? I mentioned this as a kind of just... it was a jokey tweet that I put out last year when I watched the broadcast. And I just, you know, and we, you know, lost and we didn't come do very well. And
no.
I just thought, not again. Oh, come on. We keep making the same mistakes. And the thing is, sort of semi-seriously, because I'm fascinated by it. I've watched every one since I was a kid. I mean, I think it's just extraordinary. There's nothing quite like it, really.
No.
It's been going since 1956, for goodness sake, and it's now more popular than ever. So why not, you know? And I sort of go down into the analytics of it all. Like, and I talk about this in the show. We're getting the beat wrong. You've got to get the BPM right. You've got to get the key right. D minor, that's the key. I mean, it's the one.
Are winners always in D minor?
It punches way above its weight in terms of keys, in terms of winners.
I'm just nodding like I understand what you're talking
about. Exactly,
yeah.
Oh, really? That's
interesting.
Wow.
and not songs, you know, you want songs about, you don't want walking, running, you don't want any of that. Flying's good.
Okay.
In the lyrics, flying's good. Don't mention the heart too much. It's been done. Don't go on about the heart, my heart, my heart. No, forget that. It's got to be the eyes, the mind.
I like you do a Middle European accent. See, even you think we're not going to win.
I know.
It's a foreign voice. A foreign voice is singing the song.
My eyes in the storm. You've got to mention thunder. The thunder's got to be in there. You know, D minor, thunder, eyes. You're going to win.
No, because I thought after... you know, poor old James didn't do very well.
Yes.
I thought, well, we're never going to get anyone to represent now. No. Apparently, so many people have come forward saying,
yeah,
we'd like to have a go.
Yeah, I think so. Because the thing is, well, I mean, God, everything goes, can it get any worse? Can we do any worse?
The bar is quite low.
The bar's low. No, it's right. Just maybe not last. That would be good. That would be a start.
As the commentator, I pray for that day. It's so hard to think of positive things
to
say.
Oh, God, it must be. Yeah.
You feel so bad for them. And tell me this. So after the tour,
yes.
Are you back? Going to try? Are you back on telly? Or what's happening in your life
in the new year? Doing a few shows, and what I have to do is pick up the European tour that has got sort of, you know, curtailed due to the pandemic happening. Mm. So that will be the first part of the year, and then I've just got various TV projects that were all sort of put on hold and put a permanent pause for, you know, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things happening.
And do you know that thing when we're in lockdown, you kind of think, oh, I wish I could get out. I wish I could do things.
Yeah.
And then now we can. It's a bit like, oh, I'd quite like to stay home.
Yes, that's it. That
are you having that feeling as this tour looms? Are you
as
thinking
it looms towards and the nights are drawing in? It's cold and wet. I think really was this a good idea? But yes, I guess the thing is that yes, this is the sort of thing I'd be doing in any, you know, sort of most years. So it sort of feels like, you know, this is as I say, as the tour suggests, we're heading towards what normal is, but whatever that is.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm Angela Scanlon, and I'll be back with you next week here on the Graham Norton Radio Show with Waitrose, with more highlights from Graham and some top tips from the lovely show chef Martha. Make sure you're up to date with us on socials. You can catch us across all of them at Virgin Radio UK. And also, all of those full interviews are available on the YouTube channel. Virgin Radio is what you look up. Talk to you soon.
Angela Scanlon on the Graham Norton Radio Show on Virgin Radio.